Okay, Father, we're grateful tonight for the opportunities to trust in you. We're grateful for your goodness and the way that you care for us in so many ways. May your blessing fill our lives as we come into this new year, and the biggest blessing we anticipate is that blessed hope, and it's coming to completion. We're grateful that because of that hope, our lives are that much better because we're so eager to see Jesus Christ. We're thankful for your structure and the way that you design things to reveal something to men. And we appreciate dispensations, and may it be an opportunity for us as we study to be reminded of the way you do all things so well. Thank you again in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we talked about this, these different perspectives when we tied it off. You have a perspective of the master, you have the perspective of the steward, and you have the perspective of the household. And so this dispensing, or this economy, now I use the word, does that ring bells as far as a Greek word for dispensation?
Economy.
Economy is a transliteration of oikonomia. And that's what we are looking at, and it is a great New Testament word. And it's always an encouragement when you see these words, and they say, oh, dispensationalism is a late doctrine. And the antis. And you say, it seems to me that's a nice biblical word, and it's very clear in Scripture. And they don't like that. And if you read in all the right places, no, that's not the right places. I don't spend much time there. And that is, if you spend time studying the church fathers, you find out they understood dispensations, and they understood that God did things in different ways, though in a little bit of a limited sense, because about 333 A.D., when Constantine amalgamated the Roman Empire with Christianity, it obliterated some important distinctions. And there are some references in the Church Fathers to dispensations later than that. I pulled a set of these notes instead of my monster pile. I have a big pile of all kinds of stuff that goes with this in evening school, and I just decided I'm not going to get it done if I don't just toss that and run trim. And it's not a late thing, it's an early thing. That's their accusations. Dispensationalism is a more recent thing. It's a Johnny come lately. Whereas if you want to talk about something coming late, I know a guy whose name was John Calvin, who was in Geneva. He was in the 1600s. I think that's kind of late compared to Paul. And Paul was not the first dispensationalist. Do you know who the first dispensationalist was?
Jesus.
Well, on the other side of that, yes. God the Son.
Oh, okay. Title. Important, though.
Yeah, I mean, God was the first dispensationalist. He set them all up. And it was worked out by the persons that God had. And so God chose to do things differently. And we will be looking at some of these markers as we go. You know, every time we go through this, I always hope that there's some of these little markers that we miss from one time to the next we are able to emphasize. And I remember years and years ago teaching this class, and watching people light up when they found out that there was a big marker that ended the shift between, you know, the dispensation of conscience and the dispensation of human government. And you didn't think of it, and we'll try it again to do the same thing, and that is, the flood ends, what happens? You see there's a marker that's a change. And God shows Noah that he's going to deal with different people in different ways in this new dispensation, and it's marked by an altar. It's not marked by dry land. It's marked by the altar where God says to Noah, you know, I'm not going to drown everybody. son the other day walking, that was Friday, to see the reminder of that. And it was so much fun. We were coming down Hawthorne, and Dale's looking for money, I'm looking around. And he picks up most of the pennies. Of course, I'm having more trouble getting down and up sometimes. There's more work getting down than to get up and getting up to pick them up. But anyway, I said, look, there's a rainbow. And as we walked, it got brighter. It looked like the end of the rainbow was right down on Hawthorne where we were headed. And it got brighter and brighter, and about three blocks down, the double. The second one wasn't quite as bright, but I meant the other one was really, really bright. And I thought, yes, no more universal flood in this. Didn't say anything about fire, though. Okay, so we're on page 5, and on letter F at the bottom. And so when we talk about dispensations and distinguishing, we have ages and dispensations are different things. Now, when we relate to this, see if I can write any better than I did in class today. You should have seen this. I didn't calculate it right. In class, what I did, I put Hebrew pronouns with perfect tense verb endings. Revelation. When we deal with both of these dispensations and ages, we're dealing with revelatory times. And so we have ages, and I'm going to just abbreviate, dispensation. They're both designed to show man something that he would not otherwise know. That's revelation. God reveals us. We wouldn't know it unless he does it. And so dispensations do that, and ages do that. And they are progressive. One follows another. And so when we deal with dispensations and we relate to this, a dispensation is to man. Now, when I say to man, it's either to all of mankind or a part of mankind. So when we say man, a dispensation can be designed as a stewardship for all of mankind, like it was to the huge populace in the first dispensation, which was the dispensation of innocence. You realize that that dispensation was given when there was one person. That's Adam, and then he has Eve show up on the scene, and so she's the household, he's the steward, and there were no more, and that's the whole human race in that picture. And so as we go down through the dispensations, there are human beings that this revelation is given to. So we learn something. Well, let's continue on, and it's... It's to man, and it's about. I'm going to put this in a different way, and I have it in my notes. It reveals something to man, about himself. And so a dispensation is designed to whatever group of people so they can learn about something they wouldn't have otherwise known without that dispensation. And every one of the dispensations does this, and it's just for the lifetime on earth. And so it's to man, about man, and it's rather interesting because it provides a rule of life to make that revelation possible. So in that dispensation, and that rule of life, when we pick a title and we put it over that, I mean, we say dispensation of conscience. There's not a verse that says dispensation of conscience, but we can study the scripture and we can see conscience is the rule of life. Can man by conscience do what they're supposed to do? the ones that are revealed, the dispensation of the grace from God. Rule of life is, can you live by grace? Dispensational law, can they live by law? What do we learn from that? Dispensation of the fullness of the times. We have some hints as to what will be learned at that time, but it's definitely going to be revelatory when God is present all the time, all related to men. And so there's this ongoing rule of life, and this rule of life is administered by by a steward or stewards. So this individual or these individuals are appointed. Every dispensation except, well, let's not say it that way. Most of the dispensations have one steward. But Scripture makes it very clear that the dispensation of law has more than one steward. And Moses is the big daddy of the dispensation of law. But the prophets are also stewards. And we'll be looking at that. The prophets are also stewards in that dispensation. Now, my other reticence is, we know that David will be the steward, the dominant steward in the millennial kingdom. But we don't know whether they're, when you have levels, but it's probably going to be primarily David. In that matter, so there could be stewards, but we just don't have as big a hint. Now, when we deal with this, it is not time, though it implies time. Because it is an ad administration. It's an administration. It's not talking about time. This is not an elected situation where you have an election and then you have a 4-year term of office. So it implies it, but it's not. There's not those boundaries. Now, we have to think in terms of time because we are time-oriented. And so we have this, the dispensation is designed in that manner. And so a dispensation is limited. Dispensations are limited in time, and that indicates that this involves the lifetime of man on earth. Okay, now with this comes a logical question. I mean, we know it starts with Adam, but what about later? We know, understand what's going to happen after the millennial kingdom and the last dispensation. You have the great white throne judgment and you have the creation's destruction of this present universe. What does that do for the concept of dispensations? There will not be dispensations after that. Unless God decides to do a different system. And, you've got new heavens, new earth, and there will have to be some other means of revealing something to creative beings. Is he going to need it, is the question. So, that, and let me look at my little list here, mankind, time, rule of life. There's a major, I say a major event in here. Top of page 6 takes us over to ages. Now, ages, we have this revelation in the ages is to creative beings. Now, when we say that, ages provide revelation to spirit beings of all kinds, and ages will provide to human beings. So you have, where am I?
wondering, what's that last word after man?
Of man on earth.
On earth?
On earth, really? Wow.
Yeah, that's a fancy, you know, that's the what do you want to call it?
So it's a one party.
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to always say with a blackboard or a whiteboard, there's a certain level at which my writing becomes absolutely worthless.
No, I just couldn't picture what it was.
She didn't really mind.
Oh.
No, that doesn't say on earth.
Well, I get down. I mean, I would get have to almost sit and kneel on the floor if I was going to get, just because of the way I don't.
I'm sorry, that's
mechanically work that way very well. Okay, and this is the ages are a revelation about God. I did that. That's a theta, and that's an abbreviation for theos. It's about God. So God teaches created beings certain things through the ages. And the ages, well, we'll get there in a moment when we relate to it. Ages do not happen to always relate to any kind of a rule of life or existence. And so in this segment here, you do not have, what is here, I mean, it's kind of funny. What's happening in this present evil age with how does God reveal himself to spirit beings? They learn certain things about God through the manifold wisdom of God through the church. Now, we're not stewards. He just uses other parts of his creation to do that. So to make this parallel here is not, I mean, there's not a rule of life in this matter at all. And it does, I mean, just to show something about God. Now, the next thing is when we relate to it now, it involves time. Most ages you can identify very, very specifically. When we talk about the legal age. Legal age began at Sinai. And in fact, that actually began just before Sinai when they were presumptuous there in Exodus 19. And so you see the marker with the giving of the law. And that starts to reveal something about God by contrast. And that time runs clear up to the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And it's going on right now. And when he says, be not conformed to this age in Romans 12, verse 2, he's saying, don't be conformed to the legal age. So it involves time. It's not an administration. It's again, it's very much revelatory about God in this matter. Now, down in this bottom segment, it's not bound by, what do I want to say? I'm just going to put earth in here. I was going to say, I don't want to write any further. I get down lower. I don't know what earth is going to look like if I get any lower with it. But it's not bound by the existence of the earth. In fact, there were ages, we're sure there were ages before the ages that came to be that tied in with the creation of the universe. In fact, there was an age before. And then when we get down, it says, into the ages of the ages. So that'll continue to go on. In fact, it's kind of interesting when we talk about ages of the ages roll on, you know, one upon the other, revealing something about God. And I'm sure we're going to be very much involved in a lot of that revelation from the ages. I think it'll just be really fun to see how God is going to do that. And don't forget, our perspective is going to be totally different than other created beings. I mean, we won't have the same view as any of the angels. Our perspective, I think our perspective is going to be of a higher quality than that of cherubim. But I'm speculating with that, because we will have a far more intimate relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ in the future ages, because we will have that ever with the Lord relationship. We're always with the Lord. And so the ages will go on, and so that's the big difference. And so I made a list there, but just to simplify it, dispensation is revelation of man about himself, ages of the created beings about God. And that's just a simple, upfront perspective of what's involved with ages. And to make the distinction, ages can run parallel to a dispensation. They can run parallel to one another. A dispensation will normally run sequentially, which means two dispensations don't run simultaneously. I mean, one ends, another begins, because it's the revelation to finite man in a finite way so that finite being can comprehend the revelation. And so that becomes a key part of what we call progressive revelation. And as we learn these things, that becomes very, very important. Now, I put a note in your notes, and that's a very important note, and that is, and I didn't put it up here, because neither is a dispensation or an age a way of salvation. Neither present standards that make a person saved, whether a spirit being or a human being. So neither of them are what we call soteriological. Neither is a way of salvation. And so ages can run all around dispensations. So right now we have two ages that are effective, the present evil age and the legal age, that are running simultaneous with the dispensation of the grace from the God. And so they're running that way. And so when you think about how that works now, the dispensation of grace ends with the rapture. The legal age continues until the second coming. And so these are, it seems like they're chop-chop in many ways. It's pretty interesting. The rapture ties that dispensation off because it's a limited group of people. The subject of the dispensation of grace are believers, are in the Christ. And so that's what ties it down, ties it off. Now, it's interesting when we talk about dispensations. I believe that there's a clear mark in Scripture, though we only have two of them clearly taught. A third one is by inference. But I believe that there are clearly seven dispensations that are in Scripture. Now, there are those who disagree with that. There are some that you will see. Bob Thiem believed in three, for example. And it's interesting to read him. And the reason he believed in three is because I don't think he understood the whole concept of dispensations. So he did a booklet on dispensations, and he does that. I think it's Charles Ryrie. I may be wrong, so don't quote me on it. But I think he believed in eight. And so that kind of looked kind of interesting. Now, I'm sure it was Ryrie, but I better not saddle him with it. Not. But what happened, he believed in the seven that you have listed on page six here. But he added one more. Where do you think he might have added that? It's kind of interesting. I'm asking you because I want you to think.
The tribulation.
Tribulation. Yeah, he makes Daniel 70th week of the tribulation period, and the seventh of eight, and so he makes that 7-year period a dispensation. You'll see some of that. So You kind of have to watch. I loved to get dispensational charts. And there are some things when I see a dispensational chart, I'll look very carefully. It's kind of funny. You see me counting. As soon as I get one, I count. How many dispensations do they have? Because then I begin to understand what's going on. Now, there are others that count. They essentially say there are either eight dispensations or they put a break in the wrong place. And your hyper-dispensationalist will sometimes make a Jewish dispensation, which begins at the cross, and depending on where they end that dispensation, like Paul's, something to do with Paul. His prison epistle, someone said, well, that Jewish dispensation ends there, which is just creates a lot of problems. Or his conversion, or his being sent from Antioch, those are all markers for the end of that Jewish dispensation, and they still have people in it until they die in that matter. But you kind of have to watch, so that's why I count. If I can see that many, how many dispensations there are there in a book or a chart somewhere else, it gives me an idea where they're at, and it gives you, it's fun to find a chart and say, I've done that. I remember there's a chart that was, it's out of church. And we used to have it sitting up on the front wall, but with the banner, it's better not. And I said, as soon as I looked at the chart, I said, well, do you see the problem? Well, see, when you say it that way, everybody's got to rack their brains to figure it out. And I saw it. I mean, I saw it because I can. On it, and they'd have one of those issues.
So why do you think that he made the tribulation as one of the dispensations? Because that's two men, about men. Why did he?
Why did he do that? Because I think he saw God dealing with mankind as a whole in a different way on it, and that's what he tried to do. Mm-hmm. Grace is, well, let's just think our way from promise. Promise a dispensation was to the seed of Abraham. The rest of the human race wasn't. Then you get to law. Well, that's pretty good. That's Israel. And so then the church is for the dispensation of grace. And so you get to the trib period. If you have a problem with the trib period, if you don't understand that there is a parenthesis between the 69th week of Daniel and the 70th week. And that parenthesis happens to be where we are. I mean, the 69 weeks, you can count it out, but there's still one more week that needs to be done. That's the 70th week. And so that parenthesis is a dispensation of grace. And so that 70th week, the whole dispensation of law is done except for 1 week, 7 years. It's finished, except for that 7 years. And that's still Israel. Every bit of prophecy we have concerning the trib period is the Old Testament prophecy tying that to Israel. The nations are involved in the raising and rebellion and all of that sort of thing, but it's still Israel in that 70th week. And so what these guys tend to try to do is say, well, it deals with the whole world, therefore the dispensation some of them call it the dispensation of the wrath of God, that kind of thing. But that's why.
Who would be their steward?
Man of lawlessness. No, I mean. Well, it's funny, I say that and I'm just being flippant, but it's so interesting how often people will confront the possibility of Cain being a steward of a dispensation, a guy that God hated. And we'll be looking at that when we get there. And so, I was being flippant, who would God put there? You've got Israel in the land in unbelief. I just can't fathom who You know, the only possibility would have been, would be some high priest with Israel. And that's not the way, I mean, it's just not that, it's just too clear as far as I'm concerned in that. It's just, I mean, God is so definitive in that 70th week. And yeah, the Gentiles are there, but they're sure, certainly not the household. And you've got a household that is a mess, and that's Israel. And part of that household is in, well, they're in unbelief till mid-trib, and then you get into the last half. Now, they're in the wilderness, and they're, when they go, they flee in unbelief. I just had an interesting discussion with Mr. Louis, and he had some interesting questions that are great questions. He's always thinking, and all it does is get him in trouble. It drives him nuts. And the question, I mean, there's no answers to the questions he has sometimes. And he says, what's going to happen in the rapture if a woman is pregnant? You know, in the rapture. I mean, that was, that, of course, this led us into the flight into the wilderness and pray that your flight might not be in the winter and that you not be with child and all of that sort of thing. And so, of course, his mind went all the directions that it's easy to do, you know. You know, what if the in utero child is not elect? What do we have? Some kind of a spontaneous... don't even think about it. You know.
We had that discussion in Florida.
Oh, you did?
Well, you're been there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're the one who got asked.
Yeah. So, anyway, it was interesting. So, these eight are pretty clear. Now, do you remember which ones are identified in Scripture?
Seven
laws. I mean, the ones that are named.
Oh, grace and fullness of times.
Okay. Now, which book of the are is grace and fullness of times found in?
Revelation.
Hebrews.
One book off.
Ephesians.
Ephesians. Ephesians seems to be the answer to a lot of things.
Agree. I should just say Ephesians from now on for everything.
Yeah, they're one chapter apart where they're named. From chapter 1, chapter 2. And then law. Remember, it's not named, but it's inferred. It talks about stewards. And so law is found, and there is your Galatians passage.
So is the dispensation of grace the only dispensation where the steward doesn't live through the whole dispensation?
Moses?
I guess he didn't live that long, did he?
Abraham? Cain?
Cain, okay, didn't live through the whole.
No. No, it was an interesting mess. You know, and Noah? With his involvement with government, he was an old duffer when he started to be steward. You know, so.
Yeah, and it lasted for.
Yeah, and as far as ending, it's, I mean, human government is kind of a nebulous thing because where does it end? Human government just continues to reel its way along like some drunk.
For the record, I'd like to withdraw that question.
Yeah. And so we have three of them that are there, and we got them in the notes earlier, so I did, that's the reason I was asking. So innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, and grace, and fullness of the times. Now, I just put these kind of brief, we'll be hitting them more technically when we get into the notes further, but that chart I asked you if you had, has them broken out. This is a summary chart, and I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to be able to do what I need to do, and I'm not sure. I don't like people to hand out 14-inch pages, notes, I mean, it's 8.5 by 14, just a pain. You have to fold them, and then you punch a hole in them, and then you can't look at the part you've, you know, all that business. And I have 14-inch page charts on innocence, on conscience, on human government, on promise in the fullness of times. So I have five of them, which is pretty good because I have added two from, I mean, when we were doing the California conferences in Yuba City, every 2 or 3 years I do one on a different dispensation and give them a chart. And if somebody was doing more teaching in some area, I didn't do it. But I did the fullness of the times, and I did promise after those conferences. And they were always trying to twist my arm into doing that. And I would like to print them in color, because they're more fun in color. See, I haven't handed out in this class here the fullness of the time chart. But I have when we've done this before the others. But that fullness of the times chart I did in conjunction with Woodburn. So we did that. So I don't know. We'll see. My schedule is not easy right now with some of the things I'm doing. I cranked out probably 35 pages of notes this week, I mean these last 2 weeks. And it's not, I mean, it's keeping me even, I think. And if I do get a chance to do that, I will, I'm going to try to make another one. It wouldn't be bad to have 6 out of the 7 done on it just for the fun of it. Anyway, I feel like I'm being mean when I'm suggesting that maybe I might, but maybe I won't. Yeah, but this gives you, I mean, just an easy overview, and the list that you have, the scripture that's in the notes that we're looking at, and then the duration, some of it's specific, some of it isn't. I mean, how long did Adam and Eve live? When did they start counting years? And that kind of thing. There's some interesting questions. And then you have the various stewards, and you can see right across until you get to the law, you have Moses and the prophets. Then you have the household, which are the participants in the in that dispensation. And then the task, what's expected, and then the test, and then what man can learn from the ones we know about, and the judgment. And I don't like to say it now, but I'm going to say it now, and that is every dispensation ends in failure. And it's really sad when we understand that. And when you look down in this dispensation in which we live, do we have a lot of success in this dispensation? I was happened to listen to a guy on the radio. I was just curious to who he was. I don't listen to, what is that kind of radio is that? It's not... They call it Christian radio, and this guy was speaking, and I don't recognize his voice. I don't listen to it that much anymore, so I didn't. And he was talking about the Word of God. I wondered what he was going to do. And he went to Romans 1:16 to say the Word of God is powerful. And, of course, that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. He was making the Word of God the gospel. It was what he did in that message, and I thought, this guy, I mean, there's one obvious verse he should have gone to. And when he got down toward the end of his message, he ended up there. I about fell over, but he did hit it. It was kind of interesting. So I got real curious, and I wanted to see where he came from. And he had his MDiv from Fuller Seminary, which was interesting. But you notice down in this dispensation, you have judgment, which is discipline. Did you know the big judgment? I ought to change this chart or add to this chart. I'm on the second page, down under the dispensation of grace. And the judgment is discipline and chastening of the Lord in this present life. And the big judgment, in a sense, is called R-A-P-T-U-R-E, the rapture. He takes us out of here. We didn't accomplish, we haven't accomplished what needs to be done, and he'll take us out. And we're looking forward to that. And so I probably will add that someday when I get into that document. I always have these charts drive me nuts because I'm trying to fit them on pages. And I look at this chart and I know exactly I've decided to do as of this week. When I do charts, I'm going to probably do them as individual separate charts instead of on one, one set, one chart. This is one chart. So I had to play with it to make it work. Anyway. Okay, so this is where we're headed and how we're relating to it. And so when we relate to the dispensations, we're going to look at the characteristics of the dispensation, which will be described by the name, and then what's going on, and then what God, how God communicates what needs to be done to the family, the household, through a steward, and then how these are brought to man so that the instructions from the steward are delivered. And so we will see that as we relate to this. And I'm not going to go on to get started further. I would pick up my extra. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to say 9 minutes. We'll come back at 3. Romans 3, bottom of page 6. We'll find it. So I wrote 12. I want you to know I wrote 12 in the
other one. I just wrote 12. I wrote 11 on my other one then.
Okay. Father, may you bless and the rest of the evening and the next hour. We'll be grateful as you accomplish your will to your glory, and then we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
I wrote 12 on my paper today.